In recent days, Sieroji has been speaking. A few days ago, he started to speak about the practice of Satipatthana in terms of theory and practice. The line of teachers that have passed this on from down onto Sieroji have not taught just according to their own ideas. They don't just make up what they teach. So that we know the textual basis, the scriptural basis for Sieroji's talks, he has been including the text of the opening outline of the Satipatthana Sutta, the Odesa. And he thinks that the yogis know about Kaya Nupassana and so on, that they have heard this repeatedly, and so they know these terms. And so today, Sieroji would like to explain in theory and practice Kaya Nupassana, Vedana Nupassana, and so on. The scriptures which Sieroji has studied show that the Buddha used ordinary words to teach what should be avoided and what one should undertake, what one should do. And therefore, the Buddha's instruction, his urging, is always included, whether directly or indirectly, that one should avoid what is unsuitable and do that which is suitable. So the Buddha spoke about the physicality. We have bodily acts, behavior, or we could say physical elements of two kinds occurring in us, ones that are obvious and ones that are not. So there are many things, many physical phenomena that happen in our being which are not obvious. And it won't be productive to try to observe these. We have no need to observe things that are not obvious. The Buddha instructed that one should observe only when something arises, becomes obvious. That's what one should observe. However, when the energy of Satipatthana is developed, then one comes to see the details. Just as one can see very small objects when one uses a microscope to increase one's seeing power 10 times, 20 times, 30 times, then one can see in great detail. When the energy of sati and samadhi becomes developed, then one comes to be able to see what is very small. And this is how we see at that time is like how we see when we put on glasses and are able to see something clearly that without the glasses would just be blurry. So to know the details, one must always apply energy to observe the arising physical element. And so Sieroji has provided the Buddha's instruction in translation, not in Pali, but in translation. And the first of these is to observe the arising active body closely as it is. That means to observe closely and observe accurately what is arising, the arising physicality. So observe the arising active body closely as it is. This is the Buddha's instruction. The Buddha said, Ita bhekave bheku, kaye kayanupasi. So this is the Buddha's first instruction. And it was translated as, observe the arising act of body closely as it is. And we could add, one should dwell observing the arising act of body closely as it is. That part is not there. So the meaning of viharati doesn't just mean to live. It means to dwell in any one of the four postures, sitting, standing, walking, lying down, bending, stretching, leaning, opening, closing the eyes, blinking them, even down to the smallest acts. So these are all acts of body that arise. And what is to be known is their nature, stiffness, tension, or coldness, which is solid, heat, which is flowing, heaviness, lightness. So this is the nature of the phenomena. However, every act which arises should be noted. So what we note are these things, the sitting, standing, lying, and so on. So that's the arising act of body. And we're instructed to observe it closely. When we note each one of these acts which arise, we come to know their true nature, the stiffness, tension, and so on. The process of coming to know the true nature of these acts is like coming to know the taste of food when we eat something. We put a piece of food on our tongue and we chew it, we grind it with our teeth, and as we chew, the taste becomes apparent and we know the taste of the food, whether it's sweet or sour, bitter, hot, bland or salty. And similarly, when we observe every arising act of body, one will come to know the true nature, just like it, which is like its taste. And one will, so one is instructed to observe the arising act of body closely, the way that it is. So we are instructed to look so that we can see. And this is the first part of the Buddha's instructions. So to see the arising act of body closely, the way that it is, what is needed? The Buddha said, atapi. He said that for this close, accurate observation of the arising object, for anupassana to occur, we need to apply energy. We need to, in other words, for observation, energy must be applied each time. Every arising act of body, when an act of body becomes obvious, then energy must be applied each time for observation to occur. This energy is ardent, brisk effort. One must always generate this energy for anupassana to occur. Every time there is a newly arising object, one needs to apply this type of energy. What is this energy for? It's so that we can be able to observe repeatedly. So the second part of the instruction is, for observation, energy must be applied each time. As soon as a physical object arises, one has to apply energy so that the mind reaches the object in time. So one can't be cool and casual about it. One should apply energy in a regular way. If one applies energy in a regular way, to that extent, sati will follow. If we apply energy, effort to observe the object 10 times, then there will be 10 moments of sati that follow this. If we apply energy 60 times, then there will be 60 instances, 60 moments of sati, and this sati will be firmly established. And this firmly established sati is what we what we need for observation. So our instruction is that, third instruction is that only if sati is firm will knowledge true arise. So this last part, knowledge true arising, this refers to sampajano. This is, according to the meaning of the word sampajano, one knows correctly. So how this occurs is that to the extent one applies effort to observe the arising object, sati sticks to the object, and the mind does not run anywhere. When the mind doesn't run anywhere, one comes to know the true nature that is present at that time. In rising, the stiffness or tension; in falling, relaxation. In sitting, there may be stiffness. If we note touching, there may be hardness, softness, vibration, heat. So, and in the lifting, what is obvious in that process, in the moving the foot forward, in placing the foot down, at each of these actions has their own nature. When we note each lifting, moving, and placing, then eventually the mind does not run anywhere at all, and one knows the true nature that is happening at that moment. So this is the third part of the instruction, that only if sati is firm will knowledge true arise, or only with sati steadfast will there be knowledge true. The sati comes about due to our effort to observe the object. And when that sati becomes firmly established, steadfast, through our repeated application of effort, the mind becomes stable and we see clearly, true knowledge arises. So this is according to the Satipatthana Sutta. This is not something that Seodoji made up. When one makes application of effort so that sati will stick to the object, to the arising object, one moment of this effort is not very much. If you try to calculate this bit of energy, it's not much at all. But when many moments of energy occur one after another, they become united. They become unified and amazingly strong. And it's like perhaps if you have a strand of wire and you have lots of strands that you want to join together, you apply heat. And these strands of wire or thin metal will melt and they'll become one and they'll become strong and hard, firm. When one applies the mental heat of atapa, this ardent energy, the mental energies become firmly collected. Sati becomes firmly collected on the object. And so it becomes very strong. And this is, if we compare the worldly example of making a strong piece of metal out of smaller pieces, then the Buddha's speech is quite accurate of applying mental energy so that sati will be firm, so that sati will be steadfast, and this will allow for true knowledge to arise. So as the third instruction says, only with sati steadfast will there be knowledge true. So for the firm, steadfast sati to arise, that then brings about knowledge, virya is very important. A random chunk of metal is not much. It's not much. You know, it's nothing that we might find useful, except for someone who knows how to use it, can put it to good use. Someone who knows how to put metal together and to make put pieces, bits and pieces of things together, can make it into whatever they like. They can make it into something useful. So one can't mold cold metal into the whatever form one likes. So one has to apply heat. But when one applies heat to pieces of metal, one can then form them. And it's similar with the mind. If we just let our mind go, then kilesas enter the mind, and the mind just becomes helter-skelter. It becomes like a useless piece of that useless piece of metal. It becomes something that we can't use. So with the pieces of metal that we may find, if we apply heat one way or another, we can heat that metal so that it can be molded or built into what we want, something that we need and can use. And the mind is like this too. When we apply the heat of ardent energy, the mind is no longer cold and unworkable. It becomes supple. It becomes soft and malleable. That means we can make it into whatever we want. So helping our mental energy, factors that help virya are sati and samadhi. And when eventually knowledge arises, then the mind develops more. It becomes very beautiful and very very clear-cut. So when the mind is developed through virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, these factors make the mind firm. They make it steadfast and straightforward. And one who knows this will always work to get rid of the kilesas through the practice. Not knowing, one clings. When we don't know things as they really are, if we see something that is likable, then greed, loba, arises. If we see something that is dislikable, then dosa arises. But when one knows correctly, then greed won't arise, hatred won't arise. So when knowledge is there, loba does not arise for attractive physical things that one experiences. And dosa, or anger, doesn't arise regarding things that are not attractive. So this is the present benefit that we gain from the practice. And thus, it's said, this benefit that we gain is described as knowing thus, each time one knows, kilesas are removed. Thus, when we know in this way, through having developed virya, sati, and samadhi, and panya, then every moment of knowing, there are no kilesas making us feel attracted, no kilesas to make us feel dislike. The mind is balanced between these two. And this is what was described in Pali as vinaya loke abeja domanasang, that greed and sorrow are dispelled from the world. As we know every act of body, every arising act of body, observe it with mental powers and come to know, then our objective, or the result of our practice, our objective becomes clear. What is this for? This is for being free of defilements. Not knowing, kilesas come in. So kilesas enter the mind when one doesn't know, when one doesn't observe with virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, and therefore know. So when we see something attractive, we end up falling in love. And when we see something despicable, we go to hatred. So these due to not knowing, the one of these two always comes in, these love and hate, greed and anger. So why do we note each bodily act that arises, that becomes obvious? To be free of these feelings of both being overwhelmed with love and with hatred. So every act of body the yogis have to observe when they become a parent, every rising, every falling, sitting, touching, lifting, moving, placing, bending, stretching, even down to the smallest details. If one wants to be free of defilements, one needs to note these. So with this objective, observing every act of body that arises, noting every act of body, every obvious act of body in this way, to be kilesa free, is kaya nupassana satipatthana. And when we observe the arising obvious act of body, we attach a label, we give it a name, so that so as to be accurate. So this practice, noting every act of body in this way to be kilesa free, this practice of kaya nupassana satipatthana, is what the Buddha taught. The Buddha, after him, the Venerable Mahasi Seyadaw, after him, Seyadaw Ji, all have been explaining this. They didn't make it up. And our observation, our practice of observing the arising act of body, is so that we will be free of defilements. We shouldn't look for worldly benefits. Those who want to be free of kilesas know that their job is to note every arising object, and the benefit that follows is purity of mind. So the yogis are instructed, therefore, to note, beginning with the rising and falling, to note every object that arises. And then the meditation teachers give guidance as needed. They give correction as needed. So at the start of the practice, yogis do not see the true nature when they try to observe the rising and the falling. They aren't able to see sabhava, true nature, yet, because the true nature is covered over by the form or the manner of the rising and the falling. One doesn't yet have enough practice to see, to separate, to go past the form and the manner and see the true nature. And so it's said that form, manner, sabhava, these three things we see. When we observe the rising or the falling, we see in one of these three ways. We either see the form, that means the shape, like the shape of the belly, in Pali called santana panyati. That's one way that we can see when we observe. The second way is we may see the manner. We may see the position that the abdomen is in, that it is in an expanded rising position, or it is in a collapsed falling position. And the third level on which we might see is sabhava. These are the stiffness, tension, movement, displacement that are characteristic of the air element which is the main thing that can be seen in the rising and falling. So these things really occur in the moment of rising and falling. And in order to see, we need to attach a label when we observe rising, when we observe falling. If we don't attach a label and we just look in an ordinary way without labeling, then one tends to become confused about what one is seeing. So at the start of the practice, the yogis are asked to, when they note the arising and the falling and other objects, to give it a label. And the teachers will want to know then, well, what did you know? What did you know when you tried to observe? So one has to say, what did one really find? If one observes stiffness, you just say, I observe stiffness. So one shouldn't say what one didn't see. One should just say what one really experienced, what one saw. One should also not use extra words. I observe the rising, I observe stiffness. So there's no need to say anything beyond that. Extra words are just a waste of time. So the teacher also will want to know, could one observe the rising or the falling with full energy or not? And if you could, what did you see? So one will come to see in one of these three ways. So whatever, when we observe the arising obvious object, we should say what we knew about it. And what we know will be one of the three things, the form, the position or manner, or the true nature. So we need to say what it is that we see, because only then will the teachers be able to respond with help. Among the four types of objects, kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma, kaya is the most obvious. Therefore, we give this priority in our practice. As we observe kaya, the obvious physical phenomena that arises, there could also be feelings, good or bad, that arise. And when these become prominent, we have to note them. Observe the arising vedana closely as it is. Feelings, good and bad, also have to be observed when they're prominent, closely and correctly. And as we are doing so too, there are many types of thinking, planning, imagination, many types of consciousness can arise. And when these become prominent, we also must observe the arising consciousness closely as it is. And then there are other dhammas, various natural phenomena that arise and become apparent. We have to observe the dhammas that arise closely as they are. So just as we have to observe the arising kaya, the kaya which is prominent, obvious, and note it with a label, so too with every arising feeling, with every arising consciousness, every arising general phenomena that we call dhammas, we have to observe them closely the way they are using a label. And this is how Mahasi Sayadaw taught, and Sayadawji practiced according to this method. And this, he has a responsibility to explain that he is speaking according to the method of the Buddha as it was instructed by the late Most Venerable Mahasi Sayadaw, and as is according to the texts. So Sayadawji has been speaking about this for the last 3 or 4 days. And following discussion of anupassana, he needs to explain what is satipatthana. In English, the word satipatthana has a very simple translation, but its meaning is quite deep, and therefore he needs to explain what satipatthana is in terms of theory and practice. So this will be done in the remaining days, and this is all for today.